Today's daf is Erchin daf chaf aleph. We left off in daf chaf amid beis. We're holding daf chaf amid beis 4 lines before the end of the page. V'ikad masni la aha. So we had just made a comment about the concept of davar, of being makdish a davar shelo bali olam, and we had said that that Reb Meir's the shita that holds a person can be makdish a davar shelo bali olam. So in that context, we're saying the Gemara is going to say that some have the statement of whether a certain brisa fits with only Rabbi Meir's shita or may fit with other shitos. Some have that whole discussion in a different context, on a different brisa, not on our mission of shorzel ubayze karban, etc. So says Garavika de Masni Laha Hamaskir Bayis Lechavero Vinisnaga. Let's say a person rents a house to his friend and then the house gets tsara'as. Afal pisha choltu kohen. So even though the taras has been confirmed, meaning the Kohen has come and he's determined that this is absolute taras, the bias is tamil, tumas taras, nevertheless the maskir can tell the socher, look, I told you I'm going to rent you this house, so knock yourself out, here's this house. The socher cannot complain that he wants a different house instead. But nitzu chayv laham lo bias. But once they start destroying the house, once they start ripping it apart to pull out pieces, the Kohen starts breaking it up, then the maskir has to give a different house in its stead. Rashi writes, the reason is the mishum mazale the maskir who shenechshar al gezel al tzaras ha'ayin, that it's the maskir's mazel that caused the house to get the tzaras, and therefore since the house is now physically being destroyed as a result of the mazel of the maskir, so the maskir is the one that's going to have to pay the price because of it. The Chasdei David, one of the Achronim, asked that according to the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, the Gemara says that Schirus has a din of Mechira for the amount of days that the Schirus lasts for. Meaning if I rent a house for a year, so during that year, the guy who's living there is considered to be the owner of the house. It has a din of a complete Mecher. So he says, why is it that we are Tola, the Tzara'as, in the Maskir, more than we are in the Socher? After all, the Socher is considered to be the owner for this year. That's what the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, that that the Schirus is like a Mecher. Bava Metzia Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. So says the Chasdei David, what you see from here is that the Shita of Tosos and the Rambam is correct. That Tosos over there in Bava Metzia and the Rambam in Hilchas Schirus, Perek Vav Halacha Hey, right, that when the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that Schirus is like a Mechira, it doesn't mean that the actual Karka is considered to have been sold. That's talking about Legabe Dine Ona'a. In regards to the Halachas of Ona'a, Schirus is like a Mecher, but not that the Karka itself is considered to be sold. The halachas of ona of bitul mekach and 1/6 and less than 1/6 not being ona. So that's where we say that it's like a mecher, but not in regards to the idea that the karka is actually in the rishus of the socher. The problem is there is a gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia daf kuf gimel amud aleph where the gemara says that someone is maskir bayis the chavero and then the bayis falls down. You don't have to replace it with another house. You don't have to give another house instead, and Rashi says the reason is because we assume that the Nefilas Habayis was caused because of the mazel of the socher. So you see, when the when for whatever reason the house becomes unlivable, in that Gemara we hang it on the socher. We say that it must be the socher's fault. It must be his mazel that caused the problems. Yet over here, when the bayis became unlivable because of the tzara'as, we say that it has to do with the maskir. So the Chasdei David again is mitarets based on the pesach of the Rambam that over there when we say the bayis falls down, the maskir does not have to give him that the maskir does not have to give him another house to rishus hasocher. That's only when the bayis fell on its own. But if the maskir himself went and destroyed it, then the maskir certainly would have to give another bayis to the socher. And the reason is because if the bayis falls on its own, so then it's a suffix. We're not sure. The real din is we're not sure whose mazel it is. The house fell down. It could be the mazel of the maskir, could be the mazel of the socher, so we don't know. And therefore, misafik, we're not mechayiv the maskir to give a new house to the socher to live in. But if the masker himself knocks it down, so then you can't be told of the nefila in the mazel of the socher. It's obviously the masker's fault. And in such a situation, you'd have to give a new house to the socher. So you could say the same is true when it comes to tzaraas. Since the ikra bayis belongs to the masker, so we say that certainly the avonos of the masker caused the nega. And since it's his avonos that caused the nega, memelet ki'ilu, he was soser the bayis. And that's why you have to be mamet a bayis acher, that's why you have to put another bayis. When it just happens, so it could go either way. But over here, it's not something that just happens. A nega tzaraas has to do with the owner of the property. And the owner of the property is the maskir. So we know that it's the maskir's fault. So that's ki'ilu, the maskir went and just completely destroyed the house. Now, some of the Achronim just point out that it's still somewhat counter. Why would you assume that it's something about the owner's averos? Meaning, after all, the whole idea of a nega and a bias, the Gemara said earlier, is that it comes because shehu kines mamun she'enu shelo yavo akoyin v'yefazer mamono, that someone hoarded money that wasn't his, so now we're going to take all of his stuff, all of his money, and put it out in the street, and everyone's going to see it. Well, wouldn't that work better with the socher than it would with the maskir? The socher is the one whose stuff is in the house right now. So he's not sure, some of the achronim are not sure where Rashi gets the assumption, why we're able to assume that it's totally in the owner of the house, that when the house has some sort of nega, that it's because of the owner of the house. It would seem that it would be based on whose items are actually in the house at this time. But either way, the Gemara, the Bryce over here tells us that once it's nitzo, once the Kohen has to start pulling apart pieces of the house, then the maskir has to supply a different house for the socher. Hikdisho hadarbo malischa lahegdish. If the guy living in the house sounds like the socher is makdish the house, then instead of paying rental fees to the maskir, he's going to have to pay the rental fees to hegdish. So what? The socher is makdish the house? Hikdisho hadarbo? Hechimotzi makdishla. Ish kiyakdish beso kodesh amarachmana, ma beso birushuso, af kol birushuso. Pasuk says a person can be makdish his home, but only when it's birushuso, when it's yours. So how can the socher have any right whatsoever to be makdish a house that doesn't belong to him? He's just a socher. So hachi kamar, that's not what we mean to say. We don't mean that the socher is being makdish the house. What we mean to say is as follows. Hikdisho maskir hadarba malaschar lahagdish. If the maskir is makdish the house, so now instead of rental payments going from the socher to the maskir, instead the rental payments will go from the socher to hagdish. So says Gemara, hikdisho maskir hechi dayerbei b'mi'ilakai. Wait a second, if the maskir was really makdish the house, the owner of the house was really makdish it, how can the socher continue to live there? Isn't it a violation of mi'ila? He's being nena from hagdish. So if he's being nena from hagdish, that's a major problem. He can't live there. It's a violation of nisur daraisa. V'su malischar lehagdish, even the demal bay nafik leischar lechulin. Also, even assuming that he's going to continue to live there, why is he chayiv to send the rental payments to Hegdish? The halacha is that once a person is in violation of mi'ila on something, the item now goes l'chulin. It's no longer considered to be Hegdish. So if he's living there in violation of mi'ila, the house should now be chulin. And if it's chulin, why should he have to give the payments to Hegdish? So says the Gemara, da'amar l'kishiyavo scharo yikdash. No, the guy wasn't really makdish in the classic sense. He says that when the rental payments come in, I am being makdish future rental payments that I get on this house. So the owner of the house has never makdish the house. That's why it's not a violation of mi'ila to live there. He's being makdish any future rental payments that he's going to receive on the house. And that's why the socher gives those rental payments straight to Hegdish. You give it straight to, you cut out the middleman. So says the Gemara, but wait a second. Now here's where we get back to why we brought this whole thing in. We wanted to come up with a discussion about being makdish a davar shelo b'liolam. So what's the maskir doing? He's saying, I'm going to be makdish any future revenue I get from renting out this house. But I thought a person cannot be makdish something that's lo b'liolam, and those future rental payments are not b'liolam yet. Some Ravi Damrav, how many Rav Meir he? Damrav the makdish davar shelo b'liolam. No, we must be assuming like Rav Meir holds that you can be makdish davar shelo b'liolam. Ikeda amri yamalei Rav Papa Labayi, v'amalei Rav Mari Bar Chaba l'Rav Chista, kiman k'Rav Meir damar. Some have the conversation going slightly differently, where they say, what, are you assuming, like Rav Meir, that a person could be Makdash Shavar Shlomo Liolam? He said, well, who else should I be assuming like? Yes, that's exactly who I'm assuming like, which is the exact conversation we had yesterday, but now we're applying it to this idea of someone who's Makdish a home. So really, the whole idea about being Maskir, a house that then has Sara'as, is completely irrelevant to our sugya. The only reason we quoted the whole Sara'as discussion in the Gemara is to get to the Hekdish discussion, where we talk about being Maskir, a house that you are then Makdish, and then we clarify, no, you're not actually Makdish the house, you're Makdish the future revenue from rental income of the house. That's the that's the whole reason we brought in this this discussion. But just a quick point about the Tzara'as issue. We said when you maskir bayis l'chavero, and then it turns out to have a nega tzara'as, even though the kohen is determined that it's a vadai tzara'as, that the house has definite tzara'as, you can still say, sorry, this is the house you rented from me, here, take it. So Tosa says, l'chori, you see from our sugya, that a bayis menuga, that's mukhlat, is mutar b'hana. That once it's determined to be vadai tzara'as, you're still allowed to get hana from it. Because if you were not allowed to get hana from it, how could you say haresha l'chal l'fanecha? If it's mutar b'hana, I understand, you could say haresha l'chal l'fanecha. Very similar to what the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, that if you're socher chamor, and the animal dies, or becomes completely useless, you have to be mabin another chamor instead. But if something else happens where it's still usable in some way, it's nas sangaria, something like that, then you could say reisha l'chalafanecha. But Tosfos asks the kasha that there is a medrash that says that a nega mukhlat is asr bana, and there's a gemara in Yevamos that seems that way as well. So how can we say in our gemara that you could say reisha l'chalafanecha if it's asr bana? So Tosfos says what you have to say is that a bayis mukhlat, a bayis menuga that's mukhlat, is asr bana. Why are you allowed to say Haresha l'chal fanecha? That's only if the schirus deal, the rental deal, was with a lashon of bayis zeh. So since the bayis is physically be'en, the bayis is still in place, you don't have to give him another bayis. But the socher certainly doesn't have to pay schar dira, because he's not getting any schar dira from it. So the Ragachev just points out, he says, I don't understand, why can you say to him, Haresha l'chal fanecha, min hadin, it should be very similar to a coin that the Malchus has passed the coin. The Malchus has updated to a different currency, where the Gemara in Baba Kama says that in that kind of case, you're not allowed to say Haresha l'chal fanecha. You're not allowed to say, oh, here's the coin that you gave me, here, take it. Or here's the coin I agreed to give to you, here, take it. It's considered like a shinui tzura when it becomes completely passed. So shouldn't we say by the negel also that is considered that the whole bias has changed? So the Ragachev says no. By the bias, it's considered to be a hezek she'eno nikar. What happened to the bias when it gets saras is considered to be an unrecognizable damage. Ayat saras is a physical thing you see on the bias. You could see that it has physical symptoms. The house exhibits physical symptoms. Yeah, but those physical symptoms don't make a tameh. What makes it tameh? What makes it have saras? When the kohen says it now has saras. It's all tali in the amira of the kohen. So mela is considered a hezek she'eno nikar. So that's how the Ragachev says. In fact, some of the other achronim thought that that was so pashut. The Ola Shlomo says, it's so obvious that a bayis menuga is considered a hezek she'eno nikar that he didn't even understand what Tosas kasha was. Why was Tosas bothered? How can you say haresha l'chal l'fanecha on a bayis ha-menuga? Of course you could say haresha l'chal l'fanecha. It is a hezek she'eno nikar. I mean, didn't even understand where Tosfos Kasha gets off the ground. Similar to what the Gemara says in Baba Kama, if you steal chametz and then it's Avra Lav HaPesach, so the Nigzal can say Haresha L'chal L'fanecha, even though the chametz is Asur Ba'ana right now because it's chametz Avra Lav HaPesach. Yeah, but that's a hezek she'eno nikar. So over here also, why would Tosfos ask this kasha even? So the Ola Shlomo suggests that what Tosfos Kasha is based on is take that chametz mashal one step further. He points out the Chak Yaakov on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Sim Tafmem Gimel Sifkat Nches points out that when are you allowed to say Reish al Chol Fenecha by Chamech Shavar Lav Pesach? That's when Pesach is over. But let's say it's in the middle of Pesach. Can you now say Reish al Chol Fenecha? So says Chalk Yaakov, based on Tosfos, if you try to return in the middle of Pesach, then certainly you're not allowed to say Reish al Chol Fenecha, because everyone has a chiyuv to be mevayrid and to be sorefit. So it's as if it's soruf. So you can't, you haven't returned anything by saying Reish al Chol Fenecha. So that's why the Gemara there says, if you steal chametz and someone else comes and burns it on Yontif, you're pater, because everyone is, the person who burns it is pater, because everyone is mitzuvah levaro. So now we understand Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos Kasha is a bias that's nechlat is similar to chametz, not after Pesach. It's more similar to chametz during Pesach, because aside from the Yisra Anah, there's a chiv netitza. Once the Kohen has determined that this bias has saras, you have a chiv to break it apart, to destroy it. So since there's a chiv netitza, it's kenatu tzvome dami. And minadin, in that situation, you're not allowed to say Haresha l'chol fanecha, because you're not returning anything to the Rishos HaSocher. So that's just an issue about something that has no benefit, no practical benefit whatsoever. Can you still say Haresha l'chol lefanecha? Okay, says the Gemara Vayit. Now, new Mishnah. Chayavei erechin mimashkinin osan. If when someone is chayav to pay an erech value to the Beis Hamikdash, so the Beis Hamikdash will take a mashkon from him to encourage him to pay. Will take collateral forcefully so that he will be encouraged to pay. Chayavei chatos v'ashamos ain't mashkon osan. But when it comes to chayavei chatos v'ashamos, there's no need to take a mashkon. They're going to be motivated to pay anyway because they need it for kapara. So the person feels that he's missing something in his life. He's lacking kapari. He feels like there's a cherev munach al ksefo kaviyach, like there's a sword over his shoulders, as if he's walking around with the burden of his sin until he brings the chatos and the yasham. So there's no need to take a mashkon from him. Chayavei olos u'shlamim mimashkon olosan, but karban, people are chayav karban olos, karban shlamim, so it's not about an aveira, it's not about a kapara, and there's nothing that they can't do until they bring all the shlamim. They're not being held back from anything, so we do need to take a mashkon. Aval pishem neschapelo achi yisratze shenemra l'ritzono. Now, even though it's true that a person will not achieve kapara unless he's okay with the carbon being brought, Pasuk says l'ritzono, still we would force him until he says rotzani. So it's not considered strong-arming him, it's not considered a problem in his carbon if he wasn't forthcoming in bringing the carbon in the first place. We can make him be forthcoming. If we force his hand a little bit, that's okay, as long as he says rotzani at the end of the day. And we know this concept. This is a very familiar concept to us, because we know the same thing applies when it comes to a get, that by Gitei Nashim as well, we would force a person until he says Rotzani. So now, on this Mishnah, Tosfos Maseches Rosh Hashanah asks, if when we say that Chayavei Olos Ushlamim, we're mashkin them, someone who's Chayav and Olos Shlamim and hasn't brought his Karban Olos Karban Shlamim, so we're gonna take a mashkon from him. Ask Tosfos Rosh Hashanah, when are we talking about? Right away? As soon as the guy says Harei Alei Ola, right away we take a mashko and we say, oh, well, give us a collateral? That seems unfair. Why would you assume he's not going to bring it right away, that you would take a mashko right away? So Rosh Hashanah says, if three regalim have not passed and he hasn't violated Bal Ta'acher, so why would you take a mashkon? If three regalim have passed and he's already violated Bal Ta'acher, then l'chora, why is that only for Ola and Shlamim? Let's say it's a guy's chayav v'chatas and nasham, and three regalim have passed. You're not going to take a mashkon? Why not? Meaning you want to tell me, oh, he's self-motivated to bring the karban. Well, obviously not. Three regalim have passed. He's violated the yisad d'oraisa of Bal Ta'acher in delaying and bringing the karban. So where do you have an in-between time that you would be memashkein someone who's chayav and olah and shlamim, but not someone who's chayav chatzis nasham? If they haven't violated Bal Ta'acher, why would you be memashkein anybody? If they have violated Bal Ta'acher, you should be memashkein everybody. That's the kasha tais Rosh Hashanah dav vav amid aleph. So Tosfos mitarets that chayavei olos shlamim that were memashkein is before three regalim have passed. But it must be in a situation where you see that the guy is dragging his feet. You see that he's spending a lot of money on other things, and he hasn't been putting aside money for these karbanos that he's chayiv. We could just tell. We could just tell that this isn't a priority on the person's list. So when Beis Din gets the sense that it's not a priority for him, so then we start taking mashkonos. Then we start taking the mashkon from him. So Asemis quotes this, tells us, and writes that mipashtos of the mission over here, it sounds like we're mashkin right away. So he said, maybe you say that Beis Din gives him 30 days. The Beis Din says, look, we really don't want you to drag your feet on this, so you get 30 days to figure it out. If you don't bring it in 30 days, we're going to start taking mashkon. In Likutei Halachos, Chofetz Chaim writes that from the Rambam, Perush Mishnayos, it's mashma, that we're mimashkin right away, because we're afraid that he's going to be misatzel. Meaning, being mimashkin him is not a punishment for him being lazy. It's to prevent him from becoming lazy about it. So it's not that he has to have done anything wrong for us to take a mashkon from him. It's just a reasonable concern that one would be lazy about it. So mainly we take a mashkon. Another point over here, the Chavz Yair writes in the Tshuva, we say Kofnos Achiyam Rotzani. So does he have to actually say Rotzani? What if you say, do you want to give a get to your wife? Do you want to bring this carbon? And he keeps saying no, 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 and you keep beating him, and then he stops saying no. Then he just stands still. So is that good enough? Would we say Shtika Koda? So the Chavz Yair writes in the Tshuva and Simon and Hay and Vav that there's no need to actually say the words Rotzani. If he's Shasak at the time of the Hakrava of the Korban, at the time of the Nesina of the Get, he's watching it. And he never says, he's not muttering under his breath, I don't want to give this Get, I don't want this Korban. He just shows it, he's watching it happen. That's good enough. However, he says, for the Gemara in Yevamos doesn't sound that way. The Gemara in Yevamos stuff, Kufav and Beis, sounds to be against this, even though it's extremely logical. It sounds from the Gemara in Yevamos, you need an actual Amira at the time of that Kravos of Karbon or the Nesinas Haget. And in fact, the Nesivus passing is that way as well, that Shtika is not good enough, that you would need Amira. Now, there is, of course, we can't read this line in the Mishnah without saying over the famous statement of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerush in Perek Beis discusses, wait a second, if the guy is saying, Rotzani, because you're beating, you're beating him up, and you're beating him senseless. So is that a real symbol of Rotzani? Does that really mean that he's interested, that he wants to give the get? Very, very difficult. So the Rambam says, no, not really so difficult, because every single Jewish person really wants to do mitzvos, but it's because of all the klipos of averos that he's built around himself, and all of the, and he's ones is atzmo bedaito hara'a, says the Rambam. He's forcing himself not to give it with his bad das, with his bad midos. So when he's ainu rotz legaresh, since he's a Jew, he really wants to do all the mitzvos, the srachik min averos, and it's his yetzer hara that's getting in the way. So we're just beating the yetzer hara out of the way, and we're getting down to who he really is, be'etzem, what he's really all about. So says the Maritatz in the Tshuva Simpei Gimel, would you say this about any Jew? What if the Jew is a mumer? He lives life mamish like a goy. It's not just a Jew who happens to violate a lot of averos, or happens to be violating this avera, but imamish, he's a mumer. He lives life like a guy. So he says maybe even when we kofen osach yom rotzani, the get would not be kosher because such a person be'etzem is evil. Meaning, it's a very fundamental philosophical question: can a person ever become? Can a Jewish person ever be considered to be fundamentally evil, or do we always assume that no, he's not? He's never fundamentally bad. He's just confused. He's misguided, and we just have to beat the misguidedness out of him sometimes, but he's never fundamentally bad. Maritatz seems to say, at a certain point, you cross that line, you do enough bad, and we stop saying, he's a good guy who's doing bad things, and ultimately you have to say, you know what? He's just a bad guy. And that's when you hit that point, even being kofros ha'ashiyam rotzani is not going to be helpful. Okay, says Gemara, Amar Papa, it's not a steadfast rule in the Mishnah. When we say that someone who's chayav chatos, there's no need to take a mashkon. Someone who's chayav an olo, there is a need to take a mashkon. Sometimes it's the reverse. There are certain types of chatos that we are afraid a person is going to be lax in bringing, and there are certain types of olos that there's no concern that a person is going to get lazy about. Chayav chatos mashkonosan. What's the example of someone who's chayav chatos where we need to take a mashkon to encourage him? Bechatos nazir, for instance, by the chatos nazir, because the nazir brings three karbanos, and the chatos doesn't necessarily play such a critical role in allowing him to go back to his normal life. The kivin damar mar im gileach al echad mishlashdan yatsa v'im nizrak alav echad min adamim hutar a nazir lishlos yayim l'tamei l'mesim. As long as you do one of the karbanos properly, where he does a giluach, he's yotzei the mitzvah's giluach, and as long as you are zorik the dam of one of his karbanos, so now his isurim go away. He's able to drink wine, he's able to be metame the mesim, so pashmav lamaisi. So he may not bring the karban chatas, as long as he brings the ola, the shlamim, and he takes care of those, he's going to go back to normal life. So he doesn't feel a problem with the chatas, because keep in mind, by the nazir, when he brings his chatas, it's not really for an avera. It's a unique kind of chatas. It's a part of the nazirus process that he brings the chatas. Okay, so you say avart that the chatas is because he robbed himself of the opportunity to get hanos olam hazeh, which every God put it here for us to enjoy. Yeah, but or maybe in committing to taking the risk of being the nazir, knowing that he could be metame the mesim and violate. Yeah, but at the end of the day, he didn't really do an avera, so he doesn't feel like he needs a kapara from the chatas. So he's not going to be motivated to bring the karban anyway. All the heterim will kick in. Chayavi olos ein mashkenosan. What's an example of a chayavi ola where the person is going to be self-motivated to bring it, but olas yoledes. That's talking about an olas yoledes where she's not going to be allowed to eat kachim until she brings her karban ola. So she's motivated to bring that karban ola, so to give her a heter b'kachim. So mayni hu da'akta mekra, but who told you that if she doesn't bring the olas yoledes that she can't eat kachim? Is it because the Torah says her karban ola before it speaks about her karban chatas? So is that there to you therefore think that that means that she must bring the karban ola in order to achieve her ability to eat kachim? V'amarava l'mikrayik t'imakasav. Rava says, no, that's not why the pasuk mentions the ola before the chatas. It mentions the ola before the chatas l'mikra'a. What does that mean? Says Rashi, that when you lain it from the chumash, you should read the pasuk of the ola before the pasuk of the chatas. Asks Tosfos, what? Tells the Maseches Vachim. That's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is it was put first so that you could lain it first? That's not a Chiddush. Tells in Zvachim Daf Tzadi says, that's not a Chiddush at all. You're going to put it first so you can. Of course, anything that's put first in the Torah, you lain first. That's the way that you lain psukim in order. So what does that mean? That l'mikra'a hikdima ha'kasav. Sounds like it's saying that there's some sort of din that it comes first. So a lot of the Achronim suggest, maybe different than Rashi, the Chishuk Shlomo, the Tartimima, is just as follows, that what Rav means to say is, let's say you're unable to bring a karban, like you live nowadays, where we don't have a Beis Hamikdash and we don't have the ability to bring a karban, or you don't have a behema, even if you live Bizman Abayis. So in that situation, what does one do? So Gemara in Tainus says, Mishalma Parms Faseinu, that if a person is unable to bring a karban, so instead, he reads the Parshios of Karbanos. That's what we do every single morning. We read the Parshios of Karbanos in place of actually being Makar of the karban. So it's about that amira that the ola comes before the chatas. That's what the makra means. That when the rabbanon are masake in the seder atfila, and we always say the ola before we mention the chataos. And the reason that we're makdim the ola to the chatas is the fact that the chatas comes before the ola is only in regards to matandam. The matandam of the chatas comes before the matandam of the ola. But the haktaras hanektaran, the burning the parts of the carbon that are supposed to be burnt, that actually the ola comes first. So since the Amiras Parshas Chatas includes both Matandam and the Haktara, so we're not makdim the Amiras Chatas to the Amira of the Ola. So we're makdim the Ola because Meruba Mitzvosel, there are more mitzvos by the Ola, that's why we're makdim the Ola. But that's what it means. But not that the Ola is ma'akiv the Kapara in the sense that you're not going to be able to eat kachim until you bring Karban Ola. That's the point. So we're still on the lookout now in the Gemara to find where do you have a Karban Ola that you don't need to take a mashkon because the person is going to be self-motivated to bring the carbon. It can't be olas yoledes because the yoledes is not going to be self-motivated. She does not need it to allow her to eat kachim. The fact that ola comes first in the pasuk is only that you're supposed to read it first. That's all it means. Ela b'olas mitzara. Rather, we're talking about an olas mitzara. The time of Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi ben Baruch Omer, k'shem shachatoso v'ashamo ikafto, kach olaso ikafto. Then when it comes to an olas mitzara, that the person can't go back, or mitzara cannot go back to regular life, just like if they don't bring their chatos nashon, they can't go back to regular life, the olas mitzara also will be ma'akiv them from going back to regular life. So the Mishnah then went on to say, even though one cannot achieve kapara with their karban until they show that they're interested in bringing the korban, but you could beat them up till they say rotzani. So Tan Rabbanon Yakriv Oso Melamed Shekofen Oso. So Yakriv Oso teaches us that you can force him. Yachol Bal Karcho, I may think you could force him forcefully. Tamalom L'Ritzono. That's what the pasuk says. L'Ritzono, meaning I might think you could force him that even if he never expresses any will or any desire. That's why the pasuk says L'Ritzono, that he has to be desirous of it. So Haketz said, how is he desirous of it and being forced at the same time? You force him until he becomes interested, until he says rotzani, and at that point that's good enough. Amr Shmuel, Ola tzricha das shenem l'ritzono. Ola requires das in order to be yotzei the karbon. Pasuk says l'ritzono. So my kamashman tanina afal b'shem neskapala she yitzrasa shenem l'ritzono. Well, we already had a brisa that said that. We already learned that the person cannot get a kapara until he's misratza, until he wants it. So of course you need das. What's the chiddush of Shmuel? Shmuel's an amora. What's he teaching beyond that? So says Mar lo tzricha deparish lechavri. Now the case we're talking about is so Reuven is chayav a karbon ola. Shimon decides to designate an animal of his own animals to achieve the kapara for Reuven. And so Shmuel is telling us that in order for that to work, Shimon needs to let Reuven know that he's designating an animal for his kapara, for his carbon, that he's bringing it for him. You don't say that Zachon Ladim Shlo Befanav, that I'll be Mezaka for him, I'll just do it for him. You need to let him know. It has to be with his consent. So Ma'ad Tema Kibin Kiba inan das mididei. I might have thought, when does the Mishnah say you require das? That's only when it's your own animal. Av midchavre lo, but when it's your friend's animal, you wouldn't require das. And therefore comes to tell me you do need his das. Why? Maybe he dafka wants to use his own animal. Maybe he's not comfortable using his friend's animal to achieve a kapara. So that's why you would require his das. The Marit Al Ghazi says from here you see that even if a person is mafresh a makriv a carbon for his friend, you need das hamischaper. So that's because the hakravas chavero works midin shlichus. He says why is that? It's because it's din shlichus, and min adin if it's not an absolute zuchus, you can't become a person's shliach l'zachon ladam shlo b'fanav if you're not sure that the person would want it. If I see $1,000 on the street and I say, hey, my friend was just mentioning yesterday that he wants $1,000, so I could pick it up and be zocha for him because it's an absolute zuchus. Of course he's interested in getting that money, but if there's any tzad that's not a zuchus for him, so then I cannot be zachon lo shlo b'fanav, I cannot be a shliach. But says the Maharit Al Ghazi, wait a second, if it all works midin shlichus, the halacha should be that a goy cannot be mafresh and makrav a karban on behalf of a Jew, because goyim are not b'nei shlichus. And that's what the Machna Ephraim writes, that any time you need das, a goy is not allowed to do it for a Jew, because there's no shlichus la'akum. So the difficulty is that there's a Gemara Maseches Tmura that says that that a goy can be mafresh a karban for Yisrael to be mischaper. So you have to say that the Gemara in Tmura speaking about a goy that's mafresh a carbon from a chusrei kapara, and a carbon of a chusrei kapara does not require das bailim. But whenever you need das bailim, it's always going to work through the vehicle of shlichus, and if it works through the vehicle of shlichus, it has to fit into all of the dine shlichus, such as a goy not being someone who's able to become a shliach. Says Gemara Meisvei Chatasva Shabbos Shal Ploni Alai. So again, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that if someone else is mafresh your carbon ola for you, he's still requires your consent before it's going to work. So Meisvei, we ask on Shmuel, Chatas of Hashem Shal Ploni Alai, if someone is mekabel to take care of someone else's chatas and Hashem, l'das yatza, shlo l'das lo yatza. You need his consent. Fine, Shmuel's fine with that, but here's the problematic line. Olasa ushlamav shal ploni alai. Let's say if someone is mafresh a carbon ola, or a carbon shlamim for somebody else, Bein ladas, bein shalol ladas yatza. Well, then you yotze whether you have his consent or not. Well, wait a second. Shmuel said by a carbon ola that one is mafresh for somebody else. You need das. You do need his consent. And over here we have a brisa that you don't need his consent. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Shmuel. Shmuel would answer, Kitanya hahi b'shas kapara. Now, when do we say that you don't need das bailim for a karban ola? That's only, when's that brisa talking about? That's at the shas kapara. That's when you're actually being makrav the karban. When is Shmuel talking about the irtzi b'shas hafrasha? And we're assuming in that brisa that you did have das and you did have ratzon at the time that he was mafresh the animal for the karban. Kikamina, no. When is Shmuel talking about that you do need das? B'shas hafrasha. But Shmuel would be moda that b'shas hakrava you don't need the ratzon abaylim anymore. So what does that mean? You don't need the ratzon abaylim b'shas hakrava. He gave you his ratzon already at the shas hafrasha. So what do you mean you don't have his ratzon at the shas hakapara, at the shas hakrava? So the Rabbi Gershom says it means he's not saying anything at the shas hakrava, and that's exactly the point. That since at the shas hafrasha he already told you that he consents and that he allows it, he thinks it's okay. So you have every right to assume that he has not yet changed his mind and that he still is interested, and that's why you don't need das. Meaning the real din is, says Rabbi Gershom, of course you need das. But you know, if you have nothing, if you have neither das nor him screaming against it, that's not good. Of course you need his das, but you're allowed to assume that you still have his das when you already had it at the shasa frasha. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom understands what the Gemara is saying over here. However, the Rambam writes differently. The Rambam in Maisar Kabbanos Perek Yudal Alacha Yud writes that if a person at the shasa frasha expresses das and says he's okay with it, and then at the shas hakrava is screaming and yelling, I do not want this korban brought for me. He makes a macha'a. I don't want it. I'm not interested. You're not my shliach. Too late. Once he expressed das at the shas hafrasha, we don't need his das at the shas hakrava. Means that even negative das, even when he's fighting against the expressing das, even that would be irrelevant. So that's obviously very much against the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Olah Shlomo writes that which the Rambam says, you makriv the korban even though he doesn't want it. That's that means that if he doesn't want it, we have to beat him up till he says rotzani. Meaning he's screaming against it means Beis Din says, okay, now we got to beat him up so that he'll say rotzani. But if he just screams against it the whole time, we don't do anything, even the Rambam would be moda, that's no good. You can't have him, you can't have the Bala Karban for the person for whom the Karban is working, saying he's not interested in the Karban at the Shas HaKrava. But anyway, that is Shmuel's approach. Shmuel's approach is that Shas HaFrasha, that's where Das is critical by a Karbanola. Shas HaKrava, Das is not critical. Upligadu Ula, but that's against Ula. It's Machlok Samaran. Domer Ula, Lo Chilku Ben Chatas Lola, El Shechatas Tricha Das B'Shas HaFrasha, Va'ol. Ula says explicitly that an Ola does not require das at the Shas HaFrasha, al b'shas kapara, idividi l'das yatsa shlo das lo yatsa. But Shas kapara, Ula says, you do need das. So the exact reverse of what Shmuel says. So meisvei, but wait a second, we have a b'raisa chatas of Hashem, Allah, so shlom of shalploni alai, let's say you accept to bring a karban Ola for somebody else, or a karban chatas for somebody else, l'das yatsa shlo das lo yatsa. You only yotze if you have das, not if you don't have das. So how does each Shmuel and Ula work that out? So Shmuel mukli la b'shas hafrasha. Shmuel will say, yeah, that's talking about shas hafrasha. That's when you need das. Ula mukli la b'shas kapara. Ula would say, no, it's talking about shas kapara. That's when Ula holds you need das. It never said at what point you don't have the guy's das. Amrav Papa Masniyasa Adadi Lokashian. The fact that there are two brises that seem to be against each other is not a stira. The fact that we said earlier that Allah so shlam shalploni alai, that it works whether you have das or not, and now we just said that you need his das, that's not a stira, because we just said that within the world of Karbanola, you need his das at one point, but not at another point. Habishas kapara, habishas afrasha. Ula would say you need his das at akrava. Shmuel would say you need his das at afrasha. Fine. Vamaroy Nami lokasha Shmuel muki kamaisa b'shas kapara b'sraisa b'shas afrasha uli muki yipcha. Right, how each amora understands each brisa is also not a problem. Each one will say that the brisa that says you do need das is going about the time that I hold you need das. Shmuel at the shas hafrasha, ula at the shas kapara. The brisa that says you don't need das, Shmuel would say it's talking about the shas akrava. Ula would say it's talking about the shas afrasha. But amorai vadi pligi. But you definitely have a machlokas amoraim here. There's no way around that. I mean, it's definitely machlokas. Ula and Shmuel. Says Mar Pshita, of course it's machlokas. Why would you think otherwise? No, Mal Detema, my Bishas Afrasha, Dekamer Shmuel, Af Bishas Afrasha. Ula was very clear that you definitely don't need Das at the Shas Afrasha and do at the Shas Kapara. But Shmuel only said you do need das at the Shas HaFrasha. He never said you don't at the Shas Kapara. So I might have thought maybe Shmuel is saying that in addition to the das that you obviously need at the Shas Kapara, you also need das at the Shas HaFrasha. Even though it seems to be against the first Brisa, Kamash Malan, therefore comes tell me, no, Shmuel doesn't want to go against any Brises just to agree with Ula. Shmuel is disagreeing with Ula, and he could fit all the Brises into his Shita. We said we are also forced for Gitei Nashim. Amrav Sheish Mishas. Hai man, the Masr Moda'a Gita, Moda'i Moda'a. Let's say a person knows that Beis Din is going to come after him to give a get. So he goes in front of two Edom and he says, listen, they're going to come after me and they're going to beat me senseless. I'm not really interested in getting beaten up, so I'm going to agree at some point. But I'm letting you know right now that my agreement means nothing. I do not really agree to give my wife a get. So then the Moda'a is binding and therefore his agreement is worthless. Says Mar Pshita, of course he's allowed to do that. Says Mar Lotricha Da'asua V'irtzi. No, when we beat him up, he really sounds like he's interested in giving a get. So even though he sounds like he's interested after a while, still, unless he's mevatel that moda'a, unless he says explicitly that I now no longer stand by my moda'a, then his moda'a still stands. Ma'adetem betulei batei, I might have thought that just by showing that he seems to be interested is enough to be mevatel the moda'a. Kamash melan di'im kein, listening ad sheyitein. My ad sheyomer, adem vatel el moda'a. If the Mishnah would have said that we're kovenos ad sheyitein, why do we say we're kovenos ad sheyomer? It must be that we need an amira of some sort. What's that amira? Being mevatel the moda'a. He needs to say that he's mevatel the moda'a. Hadra lachom reshkali. Another day, another parak finished. Okay, next parak. You feel so accomplished in this masechta. You're always finishing prakim. So and now we begin the sixth parak. Shuma yisom shloshim yom. Whenever Beis Din has to sell properties of yisomim, let's say so Bal Chov can collect from them, they always spend 30 days advertising and letting people know that the karka is available in order to get the best price for it. 30-day time period. Vishuma Hegdish Shishim Yom. When the Gizbar of Hegdish has to sell karka that belongs to Hegdish, we spend even more time. We spend 60 days. Umachrizin Baboker Be'erev, and we're machriz about it morning and evening. Tos says, well, why does it say Dafki Yisomim? When Beis Din sells anybody's Nechasim, when they yorei to anybody's Nechasim, they have to spend 30 days on selling the Nechasim. So Tos says, we say Yisomim as a chiddush, that even Shuma Yisomim, where you might have thought to spend more than 30 days, still you only have to spend 30 days. That's why we mention Yisomim. The Rambam, interestingly, writes that the achraza of a Stam Shuma for a Balchov is whatever Beis Din decides. It doesn't have to be 30 days. I mean, the Rambam rejects Tosfos's premise. Tosfos's premise is, of course, for Shuma Yisomim, it's going to be, for Shuma of everything, it's going to be 30 days. Rambam says, no, whatever Beis Din decides is the right amount. And where did he get that from? From the fact that the Mishnah Dafka said, Magen Mishnah points out, from the fact that the Mishnah Dafka said, Shuma Yisomim Mishloshim Yom. So the Rambam says, must be that it's Dafka for Yisomim that we're makbid to Dafka make a Shuma of 30 days. But for regular situations, we're not going to be makbid to make a Shuma of 30 days. We'll do it as long as we feel it's necessary, even if it's only 5 days, 10 days, whatever it is. Says in our Mishnah, Beboker Be'erev, why do we say that we go out announcing it morning and evening? Amar Vidom Rav, why morning and evening? Because those are two prime times where people are going to be looking to buy something. It's when rich people send their workers to work and home from work. When the workers first show up to work that day, you're going to say, listen, can you go check out that land for me? Tell me if it's worth my investment. So that's the time that you would send them. And when the workers go and say, before I forget, just one more thing. Go check out that land for me and see what the story is. Tiny Namiachi, Shuma Yisom Shloshim Yom, Shuma Hegdash Shishim Yom, Machrizin Baboker Be'erev, B'Shasat Salas Palim, B'Shasat Nas Palim. The Bryce says all of this explicitly. But then the Bryce adds even more. Omer Sad Ploni B'Simaneo B'Metzarel, Kachi Yafa V'Kachi Shuma. What they announce is this field, these borders, these simanim. They describe the field in detail. This is what it's worth. This is the evaluation. Kalarotza Likach Yava V'Yikach. Anyone who's interested in purchasing it, please come and buy it. Almanas litein leisha b'ksubasa ulabal chov b'chovo, so that we can pay back a woman or ksuba she's owed from this land, or a bal chov who's owed money from this land. We need to sell it so that we to accomplish this. So lamali lemeimer almanas litein leisha ksubasa b'chov chovo. Why do we have to say that? Why is that their business? You know, the house is in foreclosure. You need to know exactly why the person was in foreclosure. What happened? Why is it their business that you need to give it to the bal chov b'chovo or ksuba sisha? Says Mar, it is important. Some people would rather buy it if it's going to pay back a Balchov, because Balchov doesn't care if you get a cheaper amount than it's really worth. So he feels like he's getting, or I'm sorry, not a cheaper amount. Balchov isn't makbid about the types of coins you use to pay him off. It's just the minug was that Balichov in general not makbid about that. So he'd rather buy from Balchov. He doesn't need to have crisp dollar bills. He can have crunched up dollar bills. And a woman for a ksuba very often is willing to take a payment plan. So the person buying the field, that's very important to him, that he'll be able to pay it off in not in one lump sum, but he'll be able to do a payment plan. Okay, we'll stop there. But from tomorrow, daf chaf beis.